Have you walked the Camino de Santiago? If you can answer yes to that question, then I'd like to hear from you via our Facebook page, which is Camino de Santiago, Pilgrims Podcast, or via our Instagram page, which is Pilgrims_podcast. As a thank you for getting in touch and conducting an interview with me, I will send you an e-copy of my international best-selling Camino de Santiago memoir. Yeah, I know it sounds horrible that I'm promoting and boasting myself, but it happened. It is an international best-selling Camino de Santiago memoir. It has 4.5 out of 5 on Amazon from 390 reviews. One of those 5-star reviews reads a little bit like this. It's titled by CC, The Real Spirit of the Camino, and the review reads, "Having walked the Camino twice in my 60s, once by the coastal route, and again by the normal one, as experienced by Brad in this book, I was thrilled to read at last a book which captures the true spirit of the Camino. Written in a direct and popular style, this is a personal, inspiring, and delightful read. Many, many times I cried for joy that someone had at last exactly captured both the trials and tribulations, as well as the joys and the little special moments along the way, as well as the spirit and atmosphere of the experience all the way to Finisterre, and dun, 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 the feelings of depression after." True story. But anyway, for anyone interested in the Camino, this is a book you must read. I highly recommend it. Thank you very much for that review, CC, wherever you are. So I'll send you a copy of that, and I'm going to stop banging on about my book now because I'm sure you get sick of it every week. But hey, we've got to pay the bills somehow, huh? Anyway, let's get on with this week's podcast. It's the searchers I see. Hello there once again, fellow peregrinos. Welcome to El Camino de Santiago Pilgrims Podcast, where we talk about planning, preparation, and packing for walking the Camino, as well as tips, tricks, and hacks to make your journey along the way a lot more enjoyable. If you're a first-time pilgrim, then you're in the right place. If you are a returning pilgrim looking to refine your routine, you may also find you're in the right place as well. Now, this week we have an American pilgrim. Monica, I believe, walked the Camino Portuguese, and that was this summer, correct, Monica?
Actually, we just got back. We just got back a little bit ago, so it was in the October.
Okay, I thought you did it in the summer. Okay, so you did it in autumn, in the fall. Great stuff. Yes, and yes. So you probably have this question, this memory fresh in your mind when you walk victorious into the pilgrim office in Santiago and they ask you that question. What was your motive for walking the Camino, Monica? Was it religious? Was it others? Was it a mixture of both? What did you say? What did you put down on your stats?
Well, I put others, because as far as religious, I didn't do it particularly for religious reasons, more for the historical religious reasons, just because of the history of the Camino. But my other part of it was just that it was something I wanted to do and kind of prove to myself that I could. And I like to do adventurous vacations, kind of off the beaten path, but not too strenuous. I'm what some people might consider a senior. So, I'm not looking to jump off cliffs, but just to do something a little bit different.
I don't think any of us are really looking to jump off cliffs, Monica. But...
Well, I've seen some people do it. Nah, yeah. I'm not about to.
Yeah, well, I'm not one of those people looking to jump off cliffs either. So yeah, if you are looking to jump off a cliff, this podcast is definitely not for you. But if you are looking to walk to Santiago and find out a bit more about the Camino Portuguese coastal route, because that's the one you walked with Betsy, your friend, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, so why did you choose the coastal routes and not the inland routes? Because I guess, like, there'll be a lot of pilgrims the Camino Portuguese is the second most popular route after the Camino Frances. There'll be some people mulling over that decision right now, deliberating over it. So what was your reasoning? What swayed you to go along the coast?
Well, the first reason was that originally I was going to do this by myself and find people to go with or somebody to go with. And that's, you know, when I mentioned it to Betsy, we've been friends for a long time. And we both have husbands who really had no interest in going at all because they really didn't know about it. So Betsy and I we hadn't really figured which one we were going to do. We just knew we wanted to do it. And in the meantime, my husband then became interested. And also at the time, Betsy was still working. See, this was originally planned for April of 2020 before COVID, which ended up just being right in the middle of COVID. So Betsy only had a limited amount of time. So with her input and my husband's input, and my input, we decided, you know, it was kind of a compromise to do the Portuguese, but not a bad compromise because it looked awesome walking along the coast. So that's why we picked that, because it was a little bit shorter. And that's really the only reason how it all first started. And then once we had made the decision, we went with it and, you know, then got more and more excited. And then COVID hit. So we had to postpone indefinitely. We weren't sure when we were going to be able to do it. And we kind of came up with just a random pick of October 2021, hoping that it was going to work out for us. And it did.
Okay, so you've made the decision. The compromise was on time. But yes. Why did you choose the coastal route over the inland route? What swayed you to go walk along the seaside?
Okay, we are from Florida, even though I'm in Arizona right now, but we're from Florida. We live along the coast of Florida, and Betsy and I walk the beach all the time. So it just seemed a natural extension of what we love to do.
And which part of Florida are you originally from, or were you living or walking the beach with Betsy?
From a little town called Jupiter, Florida, which is in the southeast part, right along the coast. About 100 miles north of Miami.
Okay, is that, if I remember rightly, I don't know if I could be far off the mark here, but would I see signs to that kind of along the I-95 if I was driving?
You would indeed, yes.
I remember it when I was driving up and down the East Coast on the I-95 and Fort Lauderdale, Miami, what was the other places? Cocoa Beach on that coastline.
Sure.
Jacksonville, sure. Daytona. And I just remember kind of seeing the size of Jupiter, and it sticks in my memory because obviously it's something we all recognize as a planet and thinking, there's planet Jupiter here in Florida.
Yes, exactly.
Who would have thought of it? And NASA's here as well. So there you go. All right. So it was a way for you to feel like you're at home, like just, you know, taking that sea air just like you would in Florida with Betsy. So. I mean, I've walked the inland route quite a few times. I've never been kind of tempted to do the coastal route. You walked it in the fall. What are the conditions like? I mean, I imagine it to be walking against the wind, into the wind, sea breeze kind of blowing off the ocean. Was it comfortable to walk with?
It was very comfortable. And in fact, we were surprised because we expected the temperature to be a lot cooler. Mm. And Bradley, it felt like Florida. It was warm, but there was a lovely, lovely breeze every day coming off the ocean because the ocean is so beautiful along that coast of Portugal. And so the nice sea breeze made it comfortable to walk. But we were very surprised. We were surprised with how warm it was.
Okay, so you made the decision to go, and you, in the end, the husbands stayed at home.
Yes.
Okay, so it was like a girl's holiday, if you like. Girls' adventure holiday. Great. Okay. Did the husbands want to come in the end, or was it something that they just kind of agreed to hold the fort while you were away?
No, and then my husband, in the meantime, had retired also, and so he came along.
So your husband came along as well?
Mine did. Yeah, Betsy's husband did.
Fantastic. Okay, sorry. I don't know if I was missing something there. So your husband came along as well. Brilliant. Okay, yeah. So there's three of you walking along. And in terms of what was your first impression of the Camino compared to what you expected of the Camino?
Okay, so let me back up a little bit. So my husband and I did a little bit more than Betsy did. So my husband and I started in Porto. So we, and then we joined up with Betsy, and another lady joined us also from Florida, and they came on in Bayonne. Bayonne, am I saying that correctly? But anyway, and so I purposely didn't, I mean, I researched what I needed to do for the Camino, but I tried very hard to not have a lot of expectations. I wanted to just kind of be surprised and enjoy and take it as it came. So it was all good.
So it was, your first impression was a positive one?
Oh, yes. Well, my first impression was a positive one. My first day was tough.
Okay. Explain why it was tough.
So I thought I was pretty prepared physically for it. And we had walked a lot. But I had never walked for 12 hours straight or 10 hours straight. And the first day, and maybe we just bit off more than we could chew with the first day, but it was a good 10 hours. And I was tired. I was really tired. And I was disappointed that I was tired, because I'm thinking, oh no, is you know, the next 18 days, am I going to feel like this? And so I had to talk myself into, no, forget being tired. This is just one day. Let's see how it goes.
Why did you have to walk for 10 to 12 hours? Was it because you had pre-booked accommodation? Was it just because you felt like you should keep going because you had a time limits? What was the reason for that?
Well, we had pre-booked accommodation because, as I mentioned before, when we first planned this trip, Betsy had just a limited amount of time in which to do it.
Sure.
So we knew, we had just this amount, and we had to make sure that we did it that way.
Yeah.
The benefit of that is that if you have a pre-booked accommodation, you can't quit. So you keep going. Because that first day, if I had had the option, I probably would have talked my husband into stopping earlier than we did. But so we just powered through, and the weather was lovely. So, that was helpful too. That being said, everything was better after that.
Yeah, that's physically exhausting, especially on the first day. And that is one of the, I guess, disadvantages of having the pre-booked accommodation, where you must keep trudging on, even if you really don't feel like it. I mean, for many of us Camino pilgrims, we can all identify with that feeling where you just want to stop, but you've got another 4 or 5K to go. So let me ask you this question then. If you had the luxury of time, would you do it the same again?
No. Right. What we would do, and Betsy and I have discussed this, and my husband and I have discussed this, we definitely want to do it again. We would not be so ambitious. We would definitely walk less per day, and we would spend more time in places.
Yeah.
That was our other regret, because there were some really wonderful little towns that we would have loved to have spent an extra day in, but we had to keep going. So next time we would definitely, walk less and stay more.
Yes. Yeah. I like I like how you said that as well, because I've had similar Caminos where I feel like I've had to keep going on, and there's places where you feel like you wish you could have stopped. But that said, now I think because of we're living in pandemic times, that sometimes the necessity to have to book is just something you have to accept as one of the, just something we have to accept that is that in modern times, and hopefully that won't be the case, going forward. But right now you do have to, it is advisable to book most of your accommodations. So, okay. But what we're saying is if you have the chance, then definitely try and have as much time as possible. And I don't know if I'm ambitious in terms of the distance you walk, but also just being a bit more kinder to your body and your spirit as well. I think you do tend to enjoy it more when you can stop in a place and have a an hour and a half for lunch and really enjoy a town, and then stop earlier in the day and get to explore during the evenings and late afternoons, because that's when Spain and Portugal really come alive, is in those late afternoons when everyone comes out of their siesta and the shops fling up their shutters again, and everyone, you know, just the, that's what's really magical, the time of Spain is, you know, saving a bit of energy for that afternoon. The post siesta time. Yeah. So,
well, we still took the hour and a half lunches. I mean, we just, because we enjoyed that so much.
That's why you're walking for 12 hours, right?
Right. I mean, it wasn't, so there wasn't a constant movement for 12 hours. You know, there was there was an hour and a half break in there.
And but it's 12 hours of commitment to getting from one place to the next. Yeah.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, in the morning, if we passed a place that looked particularly wonderful, like a wonderful little bakery, coffee cafe, we'd stop there for 30 minutes too. And and usually there were other, you know, peregrinos there also. So that was fun. You know, you'd kind of chat a bit and you'd see the same people. And that we didn't, that's why our days were long.
It's a great place to meet people, those cafes as well. It's a perfect place. You know, everyone stops and has a little chat, asks you how far you come, where you're going. And it's definitely where those Camino families start to grow. Okay, so that was one of the hard things, you know, adjusting to walking so far. Not only the walking, but the amount of time that you spend in transit on foot. That's really tough psychologically as well as physically. What about, can you remember a point when you were walking along the Portuguese Camino and you thought to yourself, I'm really glad I did this. What was the highest moment for you?
So after that first day, the first really bad day, the second day was amazing. And the second day we stopped. It was a very fun day because we walked along the coast. And, you know, the weather was beautiful. Oh, because the second day was forecast to be rainy. And so we were all prepared with all this rain gear. And it rained lightly for about maybe an hour, 2 hours. And then the sun came out. The breeze was blowing. We were walking on boardwalk. Then we walked in a little forest. Then we walked on some sand. And then we stopped for lunch. And the town was called... what was it called? Fao? Something like that. A little town between, it was on the way to Esposende. So, and this little town, we stopped in a place, we had lunch at Cafe Sport, which shout out to Cafe Sport.
Cafe Sport, as in sports, the game, you know, like professional sports.
Like sport, yeah. Oh, the name of it was called Cafe Sport.
And that was in Esposende.
No, it was on the way to Esposende. It was in a town called, and I apologize for my bad Portuguese, Fao.
I actually think that's pretty good. I'm looking at the map now. F-A-O, Fao. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
Okay. And so the owner was so sweet, and I can't remember his name, but he gave us a little card from the restaurant. He wrote Bon Camino on it, and he said, you know, do you need water, do you need to use the restroom again, and that was a nice hour and a half lunch that we sat there.
Sometimes it's those little chance encounters with the owners of cafes or albergues or hotels, when they do that, they go that little extra, they do that little bit extra for you, and just when you're tired, it's that little bit extra that someone does for you that really makes your day and puts an extra few kilometers in your boots. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It brightened up our whole day. And the little town of Fao was a great little town. And so, you know, it just kind of, and it had a beautiful little church and, you know, the cobblestones. It was exactly what I thought in my mind that coastal Portugal would be like. And it was. It did not disappoint.
Great. Well, you've answered one of our future questions there, which is a recommended place to eat or drink. It's Cafe Sport in Fao, which is spelled F-A-O on the Camino, Portuguese coastal routes. And the A, I know I should know the name of this symbol, but I don't. It's kind of got the little kind of moustache over it, the little handlebar moustache.
Right. Right, Fau. Exactly.
And yes, Cafe Sport in Fau, F-A-O, with the little wiggly squiggly moustache on the top.
Right, exactly.
My Spanish is really good. My Portuguese, not so much. But I've never learned the name of that symbol. I just kind of learned how to say everything. But anyway, and David Talon sent me a message. David, if you're listening, explaining me the name of that thing, and I've forgotten. But sorry, anyway. So Cafe Sport, Esposende, thank you to the owner of that place for...
And his name is Luis. That's
Luis. Okay. Luis. So we say thank you very much in Portuguese to Luis in Cafe Sport. Muito obrigado.
Thank you
very much. Si. And I love the way you mentioned the Portuguese way to say buen camino there. Bom caminho, just in case.
Bom caminho. Uh-huh.
Bom caminho, just in case anyone gets confused. Is that buen camino? Is that buen camino or bom caminho? It says bom caminho. Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that lovely recommendation there. Monica, I want to ask something that maybe many pilgrims might be thinking about. I mean, it can be a challenge for if you go walking as a couple and you're spending so much time together and you're tired sometimes, and sometimes that tiredness doesn't bring in hungry. Sometimes that tiredness and hunger doesn't bring out the best side of my character. I know that much. You know, sometimes my wife will say something to me and I probably don't respond in the way that I should. Or maybe I should be a better person sometimes than I am. And I think, the Camino brings the best out of us. We said it before. And don't get me wrong, we always grow closer through our Caminos, and you know, we love going on Camino together. But I know sometimes when I'm tired and hungry, and my wife will stop and take a picture of an ant or something like that, as she does, and I'm like, babe, can we please keep going? You know, how did you manage as a couple? What would you recommend for couples walking together to? Where's the sweet spot between, you know, spending enough time together, but not being in each other's pockets? Being adventurous, being sociable, but not being insular, because sometimes when you're with your partner or a friend, you know, sometimes you stay in your own little closed circle. What would you say to couples that are going to walk the Camino? How could they find that sweet spot?
Well, with us, we kind of had ground rules from the beginning that I'm like your wife. I will take a picture of an ant or a flower, or I will go back and take a picture of a flower that I passed 5 minutes ago. And my husband just keeps walking, and I'm totally fine with that because he walks at a different pace. And our deal was do what you need to do, but if the pathway is getting a little tricky, wait for me ahead of me. And the second day we were walking, we met up with a fellow, and shout out to him, John McManus from Ireland. We called him Irish John. And he was like an angel sent to me because he walked quickly like my husband does. So the two of them took off, and my husband's an Irish citizen, so the two of them could chat all they wanted. And I was free to take pictures of anything I wanted. And anyway, it was great. So it all worked out. And then we'd walk a little bit together, and then they'd kind of sprint ahead a bit, and then we'd stop for lunch together. And then that was fun because we hadn't been at each other the whole time. So that was kind of how our whole Camino went. And then when Betsy joined us, Betsy and another friend of ours, Natalie walks at a quicker pace. So then Natalie and my husband, Randy, walked together ahead of us, and Betsy and I took more pictures. So it worked out well, but we had that agreement before that, you know, nobody was going to be mad at anybody for lagging behind or going ahead. So
I like that. Thank you to Irish John, who, by the sounds of it, freed you up to take pictures of your ants and your beetles and your flowers. It's exactly what my wife does. She takes photos of everything. And sometimes, I'm going to hold my hands up here and say, I am like, come on, babe, you know, you've already got a picture of that. But when you get home, when she puts on the slideshow on a Saturday night, and you're just, you know, drinking a cup of Estrella to kind of, you know, wash up those Camino memories, I think to myself, I'm so glad she did that. And I feel such an idiot for complaining. it's like, I'm like, thank you, babe, for digging your heels in. And thank you, Irish John, for freeing up Monica. And obviously being a Camino Camino Comrade to your husband as well. Yeah, and I think what you're describing there is actually how many people, pilgrims, find their tribe on the Camino. They find their rhythm, they find their own pace, they find their own space. And what you did was you had a bit of agreement with your husband, which was, you know, if it gets tricky, stop and wait for me. And that's pretty much what I did as well. Whenever, because I'm like 185. I don't know what height my wife is, but she's quite a bit smaller than me. And just my longer legs tend to make me go quicker. And I would always just look exactly. back and just shout back, okay, babe, or, you know, a thumbs up, and she give me the thumbs up, and we know everything's okay. So just keeping on each other's radars, I think, is the best thing, is what you're saying on there.
That's exactly the way to put it. Yeah. Just stay on each other's radar.
Beautiful. Yeah. What surprised you most about yourself, and what surprised you most about the Camino?
Nothing surprised me about the Camino, because as I mentioned before, I didn't have a whole set of expectations. So I wasn't disappointed, and nothing, you know, I mean, I was just, lots of things were pleasant surprises, but not big, like, wow, I didn't think this was going to happen. It was just, the whole thing was great. What surprised me about myself looking back was that I did it. To be honest with you, you know, that I kept going, and you know, for 18 days, just kept going. We took a day off, but that I did it, and I'm really proud of myself for that. So
I'm proud of you too, Monica. You know, because
thank you.
At the end of the day, it's no easy undertaking doing all that walking for anybody anywhere. And so the fact that you've been brave enough and you've made it happen, you've overcome the barriers of COVID as well, and you still dug your heels in and gone and done it. So I'm proud of you as well. And what all I want to say to you and to all pilgrims is, like, that we all go through that, I guess, moment of self-doubt when we first do it, maybe, or even, I mean, it doesn't have to be when we first do it. It could be any Camino that we can have those doubts. My recent one was about injuries I'd had recently, and were my knees going to hold up, and et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, I ended up doing it as well, and I did much more than I thought I was going to be able to do. And the question is, for me and you and all pilgrims, is if we can do this, what we thought we couldn't do, what more can we do?
Exactly.
I've been listening to a guy called David Goggins. Like, I don't know if everyone's ever heard of him, but he's been through a hell of a lot of stuff in his life, and I've kind of been using him to inspire me to kind of on my rehab journey. And you know, he says when you get to 40, when you think you're finished, you're only at 40%. So let's just say that we're at 40%. There's another 60% to go, Monica. So you're 40% there by finishing it. There's still loads more to go. And would that 60% possibly be a Camino Frances or another Camino for you?
Yes, definitely. And we would love to do the Camino Frances. We met some French people that we didn't really walk with them, but we would meet them along at the cafes, and they had for a couple nights they were at the same accommodation, and they had done they were our age also. They were, you know, quote unquote seniors, and they had done the French one, and told us, they said, oh, you know, they were enjoying the Portuguese, they loved it, but they said, you must do the French. And so that's the one that we've decided will be our next. So yeah, I'm ready to go.
So now let's use that question to launch to the next one. And imagine you're going to give yourself some advice to the Camino Frances, some foot care advice on the Camino Frances. What are you going to say to yourself?
Well,
important feet care advice you'd give:
wear good shoes and not new shoes, and expect the worst. So bring supplies for your feet, bring whatever you need. And the two things that were my biggest savior, one of them is a product that I bought in a hiking store years ago, and it's called NZ wool, NZ like New Zealand wool. And it's just a bag of wool, of, you know, like cotton wool. And you can stick it wherever you feel a little hot spot coming. Or if you know, like I have some foot problems, that I know from past experience that, you know, my foot tends to go a certain way. So I would pad that with this NZ wool. But I also brought moleskin, I brought Band-Aids, I brought Compede, and I really didn't use much of it, just the wool. And then the other thing that I loved was these socks that have individual toes. And they sound weird, but they were a lifesaver for me. So pamper your feet is the thing. And I wore hiking shoes, not hiking boots, but hiking shoes. And one day I switched out and I wore walking shoes, which had been great when I walked around, you know, Florida or Arizona or somewhere. They were not so good on roots and gravel and some of the other things that come along the way, because the whole time you're walking, every day we had, you know, a mixture of surfaces. And so the one day that I had my just walking shoes, I fell. I slipped on some wet pine needles. And I thought, okay, from now on, I'm just wearing the hiking shoes. So have a great pair of shoes. That's and whatever other foot care things that you think you might need.
And NZ wool, New Zealand wool as well. Never heard that product recommended before. So, check that one out as well. Put that on your hot spots, like you said, or anywhere where you feel like you're going to have potential flare-ups. And I think the other thing we picked out there was, you know, not to wear new shoes. Yeah, that's that's advice we heard before, but can never be said enough for any rookie pilgrims, any first time pilgrims. Make sure you've got some miles in your shoes before you do it. And and also the boots, like you say, probably not necessary, especially on the Portuguese Camino. There's a lot of cobbled streets on the Portuguese Camino. Was that on yours, on the coastal route? Do you remember a lot of cobbled streets?
We had a lot of cobbled streets, and
it's not nice to walk on cobbles.
No, and going back to that first day when we had all the mixed surfaces that I wasn't expecting, and I had in my pack, I had an extra pair of shoes that I was going to change into. So I did, thinking that this is what I wanted to do. Well, then we hit some cobblestones, and these shoes did not have the proper soles. They again were, you know, just like a regular walk on the sidewalk, walk on a soft surface. So, there are a lot of cobblestones because you go through a lot of little villages.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Thanks for that advice. So that's advice to yourself for when you do the Camino Francés.
Absolutely.
So we've already got a to-do list for that one. Okay, so I think you've already recommended a bar, so we won't go through that question. What about, what was your hotel you can recommend along the Portuguese?
Oh, we stayed, there were two places. So in Espacende, there was a really nice hotel that was right on the beach, and I wrote it down. It was called Suave Mar. It was right on the beach. It had a beautiful pool. The water was a little chilly to go in fully, but I put my feet in it and it felt great. It was, and it was so nice. And they delivered cocktails to the pool and it was lovely. So Suave Mar, but the other place that was totally amazing was because our accommodations, the company we used to make the arrangements had a choice and it was called Country Cottages. And so it would be a mix of hotels, but if there was some cool, like a manor house, or in the case of this one I'm going to mention, if it was a place that had been converted from an old mill, and it was called, where did I write this down? Shoot.
While you're thinking of that, I can just tell the listeners about the last one, if you want to. Need to do a little bit of a page flicking there just to work out where you are. So I'll go through the last one. So Suave Mar, which basically means smooth sea. And that is in Espacende. So Espacende, which is E-S-P-O-S-E-N-D-E. E-S-P-O-S-E-N-D-E. Okay, Espacende. If you're having problems writing that down, then just kind of go back on the timestamps, rewind on your phone or however you listen to your podcast, you can listen to that again. Espacende Hotel Suave Mar. And I'm looking at it on booking.com now, and it is 8.5, very good, from 1,041 reviews. So Yes, there seems like there's many people agree with you there, Monica. And the other place.
I found the other place.
Brilliant.
So
go
this,
for it.
This was a little bit outside of, and again, I apologize for mutilating this. And this was in Spain, and it was Caldas del Reis. And the hotel was called Torre do Rio. T-O-R-R-E, and then D-O, Rio, R-I-O. Yep. And this was converted from an old textile mill, and it was charming. It was just, I could have stayed there forever. Beautiful, comfortable beds, beautiful linens. We had a canopy bed in our room overlooking the river. It was just, it was magnificent. I could have lived there, in fact, but anyway, so that was fabulous.
So it was Torre del Rio, and then, sorry, can you just remind me of the name of the actual accommodation?
That's the name of the accommodation, was Torre do Rio.
Ah, okay, and it was in the town of?
Caldas del Reis.
Yes, Caldas del Reis. Okay.
Yeah, and a little bit outside, like, because the arrangement was when we got to Caldas del Reis, we were to take a taxi up to this place because it was like up a hill and we would have never found it. It was way up somewhere, but not too far out of town, but maybe 4 or 5 kilometers outside of town. And then the next morning, they just brought us back into town. But it was great. I wish that's one of the places I would have loved to have stayed.
It looks stunning. Yeah, I'm just looking. I mean, Caldas del Reis is a beautiful little town as well. I think it's 2 nights before you arrive in Santiago. You go from Caldas del Reis to Padrón, and then Padrón to Santiago. And so, yeah, Caldas del Reis is a little spa town, so you thermal spas. But yeah, it's Torre do Rio. So Torre, T-O-R-R-E, do, D-O, Rio, R-I-O, Rural Hotel. And that's got 392 reviews on TripAdvisor. And it's got 5 out of 5. So another great recommendation there. Excellent.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Okay. Now, what I want to do now is a hidden gem. Can you remember a hidden gem somewhere along the Camino that you'd never heard of and people don't tend to talk about, but I guess that could be it, right? The last place where you
that
were before.
That was it.
Yeah,
that
okay.
was it. Yeah.
Perfect.
The other place that was fun, though, was in was another place in, where was that town? That had a great little restaurant that we found. Oh, it was in Pontevedra. And it was a pizza restaurant in Pontevedra, and it was a Michelin-starred pizza restaurant called Il Piccolo.
I think I might have been there, you know.
It was really good.
Il Piccolo in Ponferrada. Okay. So
in
that's
Pontevedra,
the little one, I think that translates as. Pontevedra, so Il Piccolo in Pontevedra. I'm just really curious to see if this is the same one that I ate at, to be honest with you. I remember being right in the center of town.
Yes.
And there was an Italian guy that runs it. It is the same one. It is the same one. Yeah, that is some serious pizza.
It was fabulous. And he recommended a great wine to go with the pizza. And that was, we were happy about
that. He's a very chatty owner, isn't he, that guy?
Very, very. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Really nice guy. I remember him coming to talk to us. Me and my wife, we had a really nice chat with him. And after you've walked so far with the pizza, you can hoover that up. Great stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and then he gave us limoncello at the end too, which was a nice surprise. So
a little palate cleanser. Does the job, doesn't it?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So we're going to go into some quick fire questions now. You can have some quick, sharp, short answers. And the first one would be a favorite Camino blog, book, vlog, and or film, one or some of all the previous.
Okay, well, I tried to not get too many preconceived notions. So I didn't watch a whole lot. I didn't, read a whole lot. I didn't listen to a whole lot. My favorite podcast was yours. And so that one I listened to, because it was great.
And now you're on it.
And now I'm on it. And then a movie that I watched a long time ago, and I think a lot of people have watched this movie, was The Way. And that cemented when I was thinking of doing this, and then I watched The Way, and that cemented, my plan. And I said, someday I'm going to do that. So
You did
even
it.
though, yeah, and even though that was, you know, the Frances way, but still, it was, you know, the whole idea of the Camino and meeting people and doing it, doing something that you know you thought was out of your comfort zone, and it ends up being fabulous.
Favorite food and or drink on the Camino?
Okay, my favorite drink was Albariño wine. Everywhere, delicious, delicious, and then all the seafood. I'm not a meat eater, so I was so happy with all the seafood, especially the pulpo and the padron pimientos. That was my favorite.
Did you have the padron pimientos in padron?
I did.
Brilliant.
I had them because, and we were lucky because this is, you know, the season was ending in October, so some places didn't have them anymore. But I, whenever they were on the menu, I had them.
And would you recommend them?
Absolutely.
Just, yes.
You know, just be forewarned that you may get one hot one.
The spicy one. Okay, so one yeah. thing you didn't need and wouldn't take when you do the Frances again? When you didn't?
I carried a lot of snacks with me, and I never ate them. I ate, you know, maybe I'd eat one piece of fruit because we'd find some place to get something. So my pack was a little heavy with snacks that I never bothered to eat. We ended up feeding some apples to some horses.
But that's actually a really good point you make, because the snacks, a couple of apples, I don't know, whatever else, tins of tuna, tins of something you might want to, it all ends up really adding up in terms of your weight. So yeah. if you can really breakfast well where you go, so you don't have to carry food to your next town, where possible, try not to carry food. That's what I've learned as well. So you make a really good point Monica. Thanks.
Yeah.
A quote or mantra for tough times during those 12 hours on the road?
Well, there's a Disney cartoon movie, Pocahontas, and there's a song from Pocahontas. And the words to it, I can't sing worth a darn, but the words are just around the river bend. And I would say this to myself when things were getting tough, that just around the river bend, or in this case, you know, the path bend or the corner of the street, something fabulous was going to be waiting. And so I would
love
sing
that.
This to myself, like just around the river bend. So anyway, yeah.
Love that. I love that. And that's just such a good approach to life as well. Just around the bend, just around the river bend, something's waiting. I love that. I think I might steal that one. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll share.
I really like that. I really, really like that. And it's so simple, but so effective as well. I really, really like that. I've just written it down as well.
Oh, good.
Okay. Good. A guilty pleasure that you may have carried with you.
Okay. It's very small. And it's kind of funny because I normally don't wear much makeup at all. But I took a tube of mascara and a stick of eyeliner. And every morning I put it on because I was doing something special. And I wanted in my head to feel I was getting ready for another special day. So I put my eyeliner on and put my mascara on and my hiking clothes and off I go.
Lovely. I think our very first Camino guest, Tiara St. Clair, she just said she liked to have a nice scarf so she could feel a little bit girly. That's what she said.
Yeah.
And it made her feel better. And episode, what was it? 16, something like that. Rachel Smith, she said, carry as many things that... Carry the amount of things that you need to feel comfortable. It's not about necessarily about having a certain amount of weight or ticking a load of boxes, what you should and shouldn't carry. Obviously, to some extent, there is that, but there is an element of, you know, carry what you need to feel comfortable. So I really like that. That really reminds me of what the advice she said as well. I think the other questions I won't answer from that part. Okay, let's have a look at this one. A Camino app or internet resource you used before, after, or during the Camino?
Okay, well, we had help with this through a travel company that does Caminos. So their app was what I used, and they, you know, because they had the route planned out for us. Or, you know, not the route because the route's marked, but, you know, the accommodations and they,
the itinerary,
and every day it would, and it would say, you know, okay, how many kilometers it was to this place, to that place, you know, so you sort of had it in your head what was going to happen that day. Also, the other thing that they did, which I'm so glad we did this, we had them transport our like a suitcase. So our packs were not crazy heavy. They were heavy enough, but they, you know, so when we got to our destination, we had clean clothes to change into and, you know, whatever toiletries you needed were there waiting for us. And that was another guilty pleasure, I guess, was having, you know, a transport service for the, well, we had been in Europe for a month before we went on the Camino. So we had stuff with us.
Yeah, and I think that what you're saying there, I think really opens up the Camino to all types of potential pilgrims as well, because there may be those thinking, oh, I can't really carry all my stuff, or I don't want to be just in two or three changes of clothes. And what you're saying there actually is you don't have to. You can just do it the way there is a way to do it. You can do it, you know, like the ancient pilgrims did, just carrying a few belongings on their back, or you can do it like with some support as well. There's no right or wrong way to do it. The just exactly. Do it for one of a better.
Just do it
for the
whatever.
Sorry to steal the slogan there, Nike. Please don't sue me for that. But just do it. There is a way. There is always a way for you to do it. If it's, you know, like David Goggins says, when you hit a wall, you just got to find the door. So just find
That's
the
right.
door that works for you. Is it going to be the package door? Is it going to be the ancient pilgrim door? Is it going to be a mixture of both? You find out what works for you. There is a way for you to do it. So, and I think let Monica be your inspiration here. You know, this is, you know, you want to do it that way. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
We always like to finish on a high and, the Camino, I think, lives in us for many, many reasons. And one of those reasons is it's eternal in us. And it brings some magic that we don't always find in our everyday lives. There's a spirit amongst the pilgrims. There's a magic energy that you find in yourself from the adventures, from going to place and, as you say, not knowing what's just around that bend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a story, any stories, any encounters, any memories from your Camino that show that magic and spirit is alive?
Well, honestly, Bradley, the whole Camino was was a story. You know, it was great, and it's something that is unforgettable. And as we touched on a little bit before, like, never say never. You are more capable than you think you are. And that's the my main takeaway from it. And also, because we walked in October, there were a lot of older people, you know, by older, I mean, 60 over. And I was surprised by that, but not really, because I'm over 60. So it was just nice. It was just nice to see people getting out and going and doing.
Yeah, but over 60, so what? You've just gone and done a crazy adventure, you know? So
yeah.
It's,
and I was not the only one, you know? And there were people in their 70s. We met a lovely woman, another shout out. I don't know her last name, but she was an American, and she was from Seattle, Washington. Her name was Georgiana, and she was walking with her cousin, Mary Beth. And they... Again, we, you know, shared some accommodations along the way. And Georgiana said she was doing this to celebrate her 75th birthday. Well,
wow.
You could have knocked me over because, you know, well, that's what 75 looks like. It looks like Georgiana doing the Camino. So, you know, that's my takeaway from the whole thing, that, you know, never say never.
Love that. I love. I mean, that was going to be kind of my next question. What's the legacy the Camino's left on your life? And would I be correct to assume that's it?
That's it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, you may have already answered this last question, but I'm going to ask you again anyway, because it could be a different answer. One of the greatest things about the Camino is the spirit, the camaraderie that you build with the pilgrims, like Irish John that you met along the way, like the French pilgrims that you met, like the two, I can't remember the names of the two ladies you just mentioned, Mary Beth and
Georgiana.
And Georgiana and Betsy, we have to say hello to Betsy, who actually made this interview possible. We'll be interviewing her next.
Yeah.
So a song. Maybe there's a song that reminds you of the Camino that's not just around the bend, a song that you would put on to get in the mood for your Camino Frances, a song that you might think, I want to kind of look at my Camino photos and put some music on. What would it be?
Oh, gosh, that's funny. So my song for that would be On the Road Again by Willie Nelson, because that's what you're doing. You're getting on the road, you're getting on the road and you're having another adventure. Yep. Again, on the road again.
Yeah. Sometimes it can feel really monotonous, can't it? You know, when you just like, okay, I've got to get up again. I'm going to put my boots on again and I'm just going to walk again until I drop. And there's an element to it that's really invigorating and refreshing and restorative. And there's another element to it that is like, oh God, again. But once you start going, you keep going and
yeah. And I take it more in the positive with that,
yeah,
you know,
sure, for
it's,
sure,
it's
yeah.
a reason to hop out of bed because you're getting on the road again.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, how does that go, Monica?
You'll have to Google it. Cause I'm
are you
so
sure?
bad.
I think it would sound better in your lovely Florida tones.
My lovely American voice. Okay, on the road again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Love it. There's two songs you've sung here on this podcast, Monica. You sung Just Around the Bend and you sung On the Road Again. Maybe there's a bit of a karaoke singer sideline career going on here.
Oh, maybe with a little Albarino, I'll do anything, I guess, right?
Exactly, a bit of that wine. And I guess you've made your daughter very proud because she's actually set up this your computer ready for this interview with you. What's your daughter's name?
Her name is Coco, and she was wanting to do this Camino with me, but she ended up getting a job, which was really nice. She went to law school, passed the bar, and got a job. So, she can do this later.
It was Coco. Did I hear correctly? Because I think the line dropped out.
Yeah, her name's Coco.
Okay, Coco. Thank you very much. Congratulations on passing your bar and getting your – how do you term that? Do you get your bar license? Is that it?
That's a good question. Well, you become a real lawyer is how we say it.
Qualified as a real lawyer. A friend of mine in Florida is actually a lawyer as well. And I remember him mentioning getting the bar, B-A-R-R, I know it is, but I don't know how you actually term it.
It's an exam that you take and it's very hard. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's very nervous about it and you spend months studying and then you're nervous about the results. And
she's done it.
And she did it.
Congratulations, Coco. And thanks again for making this interview possible. Thank you to Betsy for making this interview possible. And a special thank you to you as well, Monica. You brought a lot of sunshine to this interview, a lot of personality, a lot of character, excellent, excellent recommendations as well with the NZ Wall, with the bar, Cafe Sport, Esparcende, with these really nice recommendations for the accommodation as well. And the Michelin restaurant, which we've both eaten at.
The pizza restaurant. So wonderful.
I mean, come on.
Il Piccolo.
Pizza's amazing. That pizza is ridiculous. Mm. Outrageous. and of course, the last thing to say, let's do this in the Portuguese, is Bom Caminho.
Bom Caminho.
Thank you very much, Monica.
Okay, thank you. Obrigada. Gracias.
Ah, just showing off now.
I am. Just a bit.